Thank you very much. Morris, we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, we'll be talking to Charlie Ratton, who's going to talk to us all about sustainable energy within the Premier League. We'll be back right after this.
From the 80s to the 90s to the noughties to the now. You love and the ones you don't, right here on Roach Valley Radio.
Roach Valley Radio, 18 minutes past four. Now, this week, Tottenham have been declared the greenest Premier League club of the year, coming top of the table, measuring the sustainability of all 20 top flight sides. Spurs claim maximum points in the Green League for 2020. Due in part to Monday's announcement that they've signed up to the United Nations Climate for Climate Action Framework. Spurs chairman Daniel Levy said, looking to our future and beyond the current pandemic, our message is that climate needs to be at the forefront of all of our minds. We've seen people take greater pride in their environment during lockdowns of the past year. And when we return to normality, we cannot slip back into bad habits and lose sight of this. Manchester United sit joint second alongside Arsenal and Brighton. Manchester City are third, while Liverpool sit fifth and Everton lie eighth. Aston Villa are at the bottom of this table. Our very own Charlie Ratton joins us now to talk about this. Afternoon to you, Charlie.
Yeah, hi Adam, hi everybody.
A good afternoon to you, Charlie, as always. So, Charlie, what does it mean for Tottenham to be the greenest Premier League club?
Yeah, there's much more behind. This is just really the tip of the iceberg. I think the very fact that people are actually bothering to put tables like this together is a sign of how things are going to pan out, and indeed a sign of the future for various reasons. Although Tottenham are top, it's only top of the Premier League. They're not the most sustainable football club. Bizarrely, that is Forest Green Rovers. I think they're based at Nailsworth in Gloucestershire. And their chairman is Dale Vince, a wind farm entrepreneur. And when he built or took over at Forest Green Rovers, I think part of the remit, he said, look, I'm a vegan, so I want vegan food to be available. I'm not sure if that's exclusive. I want the ground to be made in a sustainable manner. So we're going to check the carbon footprint. We want the electricity that we use to be from renewable sources and so on. And that was a few years ago now. And what was a real outlier a few years ago has now become almost mainstream. And there's much, much more of this to come. So regarding Spurs, to answer your question, yes, the UN climate change is gathering momentum. The UN has now got a specific group looking at sport, which is a massive industry here in Greater Manchester. We've got, as you mentioned, United and City, and then Spurs are at the top. So why are Spurs at the top? Well, it's much, much easier to design this kind of thing into a new stadium. So if you are looking at sustainability, you might look at designing in from the start. A lot of cities now are signing up to an agenda. Manchester back zero carbon by 2038, 17 years down the line, not far off in major project terms. And there's similar initiatives in London. So when the new Spurs Stadium was designed, they were aware that was coming. They designed in sustainability. There are three or four criteria for it. There'll be many, many more going forward. And they're at the top. Arsenal, with the lovely stadium which I've been to, they've actually got a giant battery incorporated into their design so that they can come actually off-grid. So that's really done for commercial reasons. Should the cost of the electricity from grid be high, they can then choose to put the battery on, which is great for floodlights and all the other things. So they've designed that in as well. So it's tough on Burnley to be. I mean, Turf Moor, I think, is just about the second oldest stadium in continuous use on the planet from the 1880s. And it's much, much harder to design in. I'm not saying that the stands are barely date from the 1880s, but it's not easy. I mean, even the Bob Lord stand, 70s, the cricket field stand, eventually 60s. And it's not easy to retrofit sustainable elements into a stadium. So that's one of the reasons that Burnley might like the bottom of the particular table and Spurs at the top. Funnily enough, there have been a few repercussions of this, Adam. I did put a write for an American website called Energy Central, and also occasionally for LinkedIn. And I did put a little nugget out on LinkedIn saying, you know, I'm a Burnley fan, which we all know, and I'm a bit surprised that we're at the bottom. And that's generated a heap of interest. People have connected in with me. I'm in touch now with people on the Burnley board. Burnley have the centre, a university centre at Turf Moor, a university centre of football based there, and I think they might be well placed to add some value to it. You've mentioned the UN, and there is a big zero carbon agenda. So what's going to happen in future, I suspect, is that Sport England, who are behind the funding of a lot of support, will say, look, show us your route to net zero, show us your plan, show us how you're going to get there. And that will ensure everybody's happy. There are a couple of sub-issues to this. Looking at my analytics from my piece, one associated element was that the very next day the BBC announced that the first outside broadcast ever had been done by Green Hydrogen for the Spring Watch project. Adam, you'll cast your mind back to about a year ago when you hosted a hydrogen seminar with Joe Howe of the local hydrogen cluster, and it's a sign of how far things have now come that hydrogen is now being mentioned in terms of outside broadcast and indeed football, because I have it that one of the Manchester football teams is now looking at installing some kind of hydrogen green solution so that it can meet Andy Burnham's 2038 zero carbon target. So that's the scale of it. Now, coming back to the commercials, because this isn't all about UN climate change targets like Daniel Levy might say, but there actually is a real commercial driver here, because what's going to happen is on the contract side. So I looked at my analytics the other day of the two or three strands of this, and Sky was all over it, because the BBC is leading on this, but Sky was all over it. Now, we know that contracts are renewed every 3 or 4 years for football and various other things. In the future, I'm absolutely rock-solid certain that those contracts will include your metrics, where you are in the league table, what you're going to do about it, show us your pathway to net zero, or otherwise the contract might not be for you. So that's a bit of the stick, if you like. If you want to get a contract, you will show us a route to net zero. So those that aren't aware of that, perhaps it's time to be aware of it. You need a plan. You need to show that within Manchester from 16 years from now, you need to show you can meet net zero. For those of us that follow Ramsbottom United and listen to the generator next to our commentary booth, Adam, you might think, well, that's going to present even more of a challenge. So you need to think about it now, because obviously Ramsbottom United are in Greater Manchester. They too, just like the churches, just like the community groups, a whole heap of people that have been previously inoculated from the green agenda, the agricultural sector, the government, the university sector, the health service, all of these people have to show a route to net zero. So that football table was the first real sign of activity, and I put it out there, and the response has been immense. Burnley Council have been on over it, the board of Burnley Football Club are engaged with it, the FA, you name it, and people are now starting to treat that kind of thing very, very seriously. Stuff that nobody bothered about 15, 20 years ago. You just plug it into the grid, switch the floodlights on. I remember going to Burnley in the 1970s, 3-day week, and Bob Lord had installed a big diesel generator behind the cricket field stand. And I think Burnley was just about the only club to play at 3 o'clock because they had an off-grid generator. So going forward, it won't be a big diesel generator. It'll be a hydrogen fuel cell or a battery-powered vehicle. And it might be hooked up to this BBC, this new outside broadcast unit, should it succeed, so that they can get the zero carbon end-to-end. So it's going to be not just the catering, a few vegan burgers, all the electricity requirements, for not just the club, for the vehicles, for the training facilities, for the way the club travels to away games. It's going to include aviation. And yes, you can choose to ignore it, but there might be a stinging in the tail when a few years down the line you're invited to go for some tender or for some support, and that will be pretty close to the top of the agenda.
Brilliant, thanks, Charlie. I think you answered all my questions in that one answer. Just one final question I've got for you just before we can run out of time in the next couple of minutes. But what you talked about Ramsbottom United there, obviously there's quite a few non-league clubs that would cover Radcliffe, Bury, AFC, and impressed with Chase as well. How do you feel that they can make themselves more sustainable going forward to reach that net zero target?
Yes, it's a great question. I'd like to think there'll be some support available. There is in Lancashire. They've got a zero carbon initiative, and you can get a bit of advice. You can get accreditation. You can go through quality control. And I think the first thing is to, one, think about it. Don't be surprised. Within Greater Manchester, which Ram's Bottom is, 16 years, you have to be zero carbon. Now, that's a challenge, but you can still do it. So you need to think about, well, if you're replacing the light bulbs, put them all the LEDs, make them as efficient. But then more than that, if you are replacing the floodlight generator in due course, what options are out there? Could you put a battery in place? Could you put hydrogen fuel cell in the station? What else? Could you put biofuels? Would it work in that rather noisy generator that sits next to our commentary booth? You start to explore. You might want to do a bit of research. There are people that would help you out there. So if you think about it now and you prepare, then you'll be in a good place when these appear in the contracts. So don't be surprised when these start to appear in the contracts in 2 or 3 years from people like the sponsors, from people like who knows with sporting and all the bodies that you need to engage with as a professional and semi-professional clubs. It's all going to be in the paperwork. So think about it now, come up with a strategy, get your plans in place. And there is support in both Lancashire and Greater Manchester to guide you through the process.
Brilliant. As always, Charlie, it's a pleasure talking to you, and we'll catch up with you soon. I'm sure we'll have more chats about energy before this net zero comes in 2038. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you there. Charlie Rattan on Roach Valley Radio. We'll go straight to